Good morning, everyone.
Yep.
I hope you can hear me okay, can you? Yep, yes. Here's a question for you. What's the purpose of your life? What's the purpose of your life? Why do you do things the way you do the things you do? What's the purpose of your life? So today and next Sunday, we will walk together as we look at Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 1 until verse 10. And hopefully, by the end of these two Sundays, we'll be able to answer this question, the purpose of life. I'm going to read this passage now, and it will be projected up there. And if you have your Bible with you or your Bible app, just keep it open, and then you can make notes. And yeah, that's very, very helpful. I'm going to read it now. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 until verse 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for who you are, our Creator, our Father, our God. Please help us as we look at your word. Help us to understand what you have prepared for us, Lord. And may your Holy Spirit speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know your routine every day. Maybe you wake up in the morning and you make a cup of coffee or tea, and then you go to work, go to school, go to college, or stay at home. And then you have your lunch, and then you go back to your thing, work, studies, or staying at home, minding the kids, and then you go back home, you have your dinner, you maybe read a book, watch some Netflix, talk to your friends, play some games, and then you go to sleep. Next day, the same stuff. And the following one, same stuff. And the next one, the same stuff. And maybe on Sunday you come to church, and yeah. So you have a pattern, you have a routine, but why? What's the purpose of that? If you work every day, what's the purpose? Are you just waiting for the day we'll be able to retire, and then you're going to do more stuff, or maybe you will be able to rest? But what's the purpose of all of this? Here's a challenge for you. This passage is loaded. If we stop and you read, like, as I was preparing for today, maybe every 4 or 5 words, you maybe stop and reflect on what you see. I won't be able to cover everything that we see here, but I encourage you to have this passage with you this week. Read it. Meditate on this passage. Next week, we're going to have some more. So here's a challenge for you. And some spoiler alert. I asked about the purpose of your life. I can answer this question right now. We have been made to connect firstly to connect with God, and then to connect with other people, and to bring glory to God. That's the answer. But that's not the end. So we're going to see what Paul had prepared for the Ephesians here. And if you were here last week, it was just the end of the kids' club, and the way I was talking was a little bit different, and the way that I was acting and walking was different. But I mentioned something that was very important. I did say something about sin. Does anyone remember the actions for sin? I can hear someone saying, shove God. Yeah, I'm in control, not you. Yeah, shove God, I'm in control, and not you. And today I have something else to say. This passage here has four different blocks. The first one says, sin works against us. The second one, God works for us. And then, God works in us, and God works through us. So the first one, sin works against us, God works for us, God works in us, and God works through us. This week and next week, we're going to cover this ground. Let's start with sin works against us. Last week, we saw that our biggest problem is sin. Sin separates us from God, disconnected us from God. That's our biggest sin. That's our biggest problem. But there was a day that there was no sin in the world. Everything was perfect. But there was a line. There was a limit. God commanded Adam, the first man, to not cross that line. But I'm sure you know what happened. He did cross the line. When you look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, we see that the Lord commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die. And what happened? Adam and Eve, they ate, and they died. And that's exactly what we see here in Ephesians. Sin brought death into the world, not physical death, because Adam and Eve, they lived after that. I think Adam lived for 900 years, and yes, he had a very long life. However, he was spiritually dead. He was separated from God. And we know what sin means. Show of God, I'm in control and not you. But the word sin means missing the mark. It's an archery term. When you miss the mark, they would say that you sinned. Missing the mark, not hitting the target, not doing what God has designed you to do. When you do that, or when you don't do these things, you sin. When God's not pleased with what you do, that's the meaning for sin. In verses 1 to 3, I'm going to read it again. You were dead in transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. These verses, they show that because of sin, we were dead. Before having an encounter with Jesus, the individual is separated from God. Even though you walk, you eat, you wake up in the morning, you watch Netflix, you play games, you see your friends, you play some songs, you play music, you enjoy your life, you go to the park, you do loads of stuff. If you are not connected to Jesus, you're dead. You're spiritually dead. you're still in the first part of this portion of the Bible that we'll see today, these three verses. Maybe you are here today and you see a picture of yourself as you look at these verses. Perhaps you have been attending churches for many years, 1, 2, 5, 10, 30 years. You sing songs, you read Bible verses, you do things that Christians do, but they make no sense for you. Maybe that's your situation today. But I hope by the end of this sermon, the way that God is speaking to us, today will be a turning point in your life. That when you look at the Bible, when you sing songs, these things will make sense. That these things will reconnect you to God. That people can't help themselves. That people can't make decisions. So, if I'm dead without Jesus, how can I make a decision to be with him? If I'm dead, how can I choose to be with Jesus? That people don't choose. Here in Ephesians, we learn that the only way this situation can be changed is through God's intervention. God is the one who can change your status from dead to alive, from death to life. He's the only one who can do that. Sin works against us. And if we depend on our power and strength, we cannot overcome it. Based on ourselves, we would always be slaves to sin, to this world, and to Satan. We have a definition here on verse 2. The ruler of the kingdom of the air. It's basically Satan. Sin is what drags us away from God. It began in the Garden of Eden when sin came into the world. And sin is still present. And sin is real today. Some people say, but I just want to be free. I don't want to have to follow a set of rules. I don't want to be a puppet in God's hands. If God exists, I have something for you. Yes, he does exist. Yes, he is real. And he loves you. Yes, he exists. Yes, he is real. And yes, he loves you. And there's another thing. There's no middle ground. You are either connected with God or connected to the ruler of the kingdom of the air, Satan. There's no in between. It's either one or the other one. And as we see in verse 2, Satan is at work. Yes, he is at work. He has been condemned many, many, many ages ago. His destiny is hell. And he wants to bring as many people as possible with him. But God is at work. God is at work. Yes, Satan's at work. However, God is at work. Look at verse 4 and 5. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. Despite the way we lived our lives, God loved us. Not that he loves us now, but he loved us since the beginning. He loved us. God's love doesn't have its cause in us. His love has its cause in God himself. He loved us because he is rich in mercy. He gave us life. He gave us new life. We are not repaired sinners. It's not that we were dead and God applied a makeup in our faces. No. God gives new life. There is a change here from dead to alive. There's an old movie, and it will probably show my age. It's called Weekend at Bernie's. And it's a man, he's dead, and there are two or more, probably two guys, that for some reason that I can't remember, they want to pretend that this man is alive, but he's dead. And they walk with him, they bring him to places, to parties, to the beach, into a car, and but he's dead. I don't know how people didn't see that he wasn't alive, but yes, they put sunglasses and a hat and everything, but he's dead. God saved you when you were dead. If your life looks like what you see in these first verses, here's good news for you. God gives life to the dead. God gives life to sinners. God gives life to the disobedient. God gives life. In the same way he raised Jesus from the dead, he can operate a miracle in you as well. In Christ, we are a new creation. Only God can operate this miracle. We are not able to do that. No one is able to do that. The end of verse 5 says, "It is by grace you have been saved." Again, past tense. You have been saved. Not that you will be saved. There is nothing you can do to save yourself. Remember, you were dead. Dead people can't do anything. They can't help themselves. We needed God's intervention. By grace alone, through faith alone. When we sung our first song today, the line was, "And when I think that God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin." We can see here mercy and grace. Mercy and grace here. And I was thinking about a murderer or someone very, a terrible person. No one came to mind. Like, many people came to mind, but no one that I could bring. So if you have someone, a terrible person in your mind, imagine that this person is sent to prison. And then someone comes in and watches this person and says, "You know what, I know everything that you've done. However, here's my son. He will take the punishment that you deserved." And then you just leave the prison, come with me, and everything that was his inheritance belongs to you now. And here's a paper for you to sign. You're now my son. I'm adopting you. You are my daughter. I'm adopting you. This person didn't deserve that, but it was given. Mercy is not getting what you deserve, and grace is getting what you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you deserve, punishment, death, but grace is getting what you don't deserve, salvation. And what happens then? What comes after that? Look at verse 6. "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus." He lifts you up. If you are in Christ, you are already in an honorable place, in an honorable position, and he will keep you safe for his glory. He will keep you safe for his glory. And here's an interesting part. Why for his glory? Why is that? How can I be saved, bring glory to God? How does it work? Remember, no one will get in heaven and say, I'm here because of the things that I did. Because I went to church every Sunday, because I read the Bible 20 times, because I preached the gospel, and I do deserve being here. Yeah, it's my credit. No one will be able to do that. Nobody. And you know why? Because all the glory belongs to God. We will be God's trophy. It sounds weird, but yes. We are His masterpiece. He will be exalted through our salvation, because our salvation doesn't come from us. It comes from God. So He will be exalted, not us. We will be glorified. Yes, we will. But all the glory will go to God. We will enjoy our salvation because God works in us. And it will be for the whole eternity. Yes, we will enjoy time with God. I don't know if you ever moved into a new house or got a new car. The first second is always the best. When you see something new, you're like, wow, that's amazing. But as time goes by, this excitement just fades. And then we start to see the cracks on the wall, or your car starts to make some weird noises, and then you start complaining about things. But when you go to heaven, things won't be like that. This excitement will be constant every single day, every single second. God won't be that person that you look someday and say, oh, this is a nice person because it's kind, it's gentle, but then we start to see the imperfections. No. Every single day you look at God and you see something new, something amazing. And imagine having it for the whole eternity. I can't. I don't know if you can, but I can't. It's impossible. Let's move on to verse 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Grace is what God has done for you in Christ. I don't deserve it, but I need it. Faith is the instrument. Salvation is given by grace. We don't pay for it. It is good to remember that the offer is there. Salvation is free. You don't have to pay for it. However, it had a high cost. And the cost was Jesus' life. We can't forget that. It is free, but there was a cost. Someone paid for it. Last year, I got one of those one-for-all gift cards. And I could go to many different shops to buy stuff. But the price has been paid. Someone paid for that. I didn't have to do anything. I just had to go to the shop to show the card, to buy some stuff. Not to buy, to get some stuff. But the price had been... Someone paid for that. It was paid already. But I had to claim that price. But the price had been paid. And the purpose of salvation is good works. We're going to explore this part a little bit more next week. But look, that is not the opposite. It is not that you do good works in order to be saved. No, you are saved, and as a result, you do good things. I'm going to say it again. You are saved, and the fruit, the result, are the good works. It's not that you have to do many things to be saved. No, that's not what God says. That's not what the Bible says. You have been saved And as a result, and the purpose of your salvation is to be connected with God, to glorify God, and to do good works. Yes. The evidence that you are seated in heaven with Jesus is found on how you walk on earth, how you do things. And that's the evidence. God works in us, and He is at work. He doesn't stop. He's 24/7 working. Perhaps you don't see it now. But here's a reminder. You are God's masterpiece. And it takes time for a masterpiece to be finished. It's not fast food. It's a gourmet restaurant. It takes time. It takes a while. A beautiful piece of gold needs to be refined by fire. A piece of art needs a long time to be finished. Our lives are a work in progress. Do you know when the goldsmith knows that the piece of gold is done, is pure, is finished? When we can see his face on that piece. When he can see his face, he knows that the work is done. And it's the same with us. The work will be finished when God looks at us and he will be able to see Jesus through our lives. When he will be able to see his face in us. God is at work. He is at work in your life. Perhaps today you are feeling broken, stepped upon, crumbled up, dirty. But these things don't change your value. These things don't change who you are. Your life is a piece of art, and God has a plan. He has a purpose for your life. You are unique. Remember that. You are unique. And do you know why? Because you are God's masterpiece. I'm saying it over and over again because verse 10 talks about it. God's handiwork, a poem, poema. That's a word, something amazing. God's masterpiece. No matter who people say you are, no matter what the word says about you, you have been made the image of the Almighty God. You are not an accident. You are not a mistake. You are God's masterpiece, made to connect with Him and made to bring glory to Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the way your word penetrates in our hearts. My prayer is that this message will have a huge impact in our lives, not just today, but for many days to come. Help us to remember your word. Help us to keep your word in our hearts. Help us to remember that there is nothing we can do to add to what Jesus did for us when he died for us, Lord. It is done. It is finished. He did it all. We just need to surrender. And I pray for everyone here this morning. I don't know what's in their hearts. I don't know what's in their minds. But I hope that your Holy Spirit will work in their lives today, Lord. That no one here will leave this place in the same way they came in, Lord. I pray for healing. I pray for change of life. I pray for change of attitude. And I pray that we will see what you have done for us, Lord, that we will surrender at your feet. And that you will rejoice by what Jesus did for us, Lord, dying on the cross and coming back to life and giving us life, Lord, because as we saw in verse 1, we were dead, but you give us life, and we thank you for that, Lord. May all the glory be to you forever and ever. Amen.